All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right, this morning I want to share with you, I want to continue on with the thought that Pastor left with us last week, and they have asked me to share on this along these lines. Last week, Pastor began to share a scripture with us from the book of Acts, chapter 3. And I'm just quickly going to read this scripture first before I go into the actual message. And this is what it says in Acts, chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. I want to read verse 21 again. This is the kind of like a key scripture here of where the direction of where we're going this morning. In verse 21, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. Now this is telling us that heaven, Jesus will remain and will not return until all the things that the prophets have spoken about, when they prophesied, they spoke about the future, that there must be a restoration of all that the prophets have spoken, okay? And then Jesus Christ will return. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about things that must take place, fulfillment, prophetic fulfillment, as far as the church is concerned and as far as some of the world events that take place. But we do want to focus on what God is going to do, what is the business of God as far as restoring all things before he returns, as far as the church is concerned. But before we will do that, I want to take you through a prophetic timeline, just to lay before us the events and the things that are going to take place, so that we can see where the church fits in, where the church is going, and what the church needs to do, and what is her position, what is she getting ready for, what is God doing with the church, and what is God preparing the church for. So this, I believe that this timeline will help us understand this morning, and to realign the church so that the church will know her destiny.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes. All right, so I want to talk with you this morning about God's prophetic timeline. And I believe that it's a call for us for awakening, to awaken us to the reality of what God is doing. Okay, because a lot of the things that the prophets spoke about, they didn't understand it. They didn't know it. In fact, the Bible says they didn't write it for themselves, but they wrote it for us, for another generation. People like us living in the last days, and we have the privilege that these things are being opened to us. Okay? So, now as I've got a very kind of a big, long introduction here, and as you know, we've been going through the book of Daniel in Life Group. And we've started looking at Daniel chapter 9, and we've been talking about the 70 weeks prophecy. Okay? So, I understand that by doing this morning is by no means giving us a detailed study of everything, but it's an outline of the destiny, and I'm just putting the pieces together as we have studied together with past pastors, the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. I want to open up by reading up the scripture in Daniel chapter 9. This will set the path, this will set the course for this sharing this morning. So Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, I'll read from verse 23. I'll read from verse 20, sorry. Now, while, verse 20, yeah, no, sorry. I'll read from verse 23, okay, sorry. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, which I have to tell you, for you are greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter and understand the vision. So the angel here is giving Daniel a vision.
Yeah.
So this vision here is what he's going to talk about. Okay. So let's read. What is that vision that Daniel received? Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish transgression and to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy.
Yep.
Verse 25.
Yep.
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem and the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, and even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolation are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Alright? Now, like I said, we're not going to break this down because I think this is what we're going to do in the live group, so stay tuned. But I want to lay down the pieces out.
Yep.
Now, for us to understand this really quickly, this is an introduction, okay? Here, first of all, we're going to say 70 weeks are determined. 70 weeks, okay?
70.
So 70 weeks is a timeline. It's starting from right where, when Babylon, right? You know how King Nebuchadnezzar took the children of the house of Judah into captivity. For 70 years they were in captivity. Now from their going out, when Cyrus the king gave them the command to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, this is the command that this scripture or this prophecy is talking about. So the 70 weeks starts there, from that command. And that 70 weeks will take us all the way through until Jesus returns.
Yeah.
So that's why this is God's prophetic timeline.
Yeah.
It's like God's timetable. If you're catching a bus or a train, if you want to go to a place at a certain time and you want to be on time, you're going to make sure that you check your bus timetable so that when you go to the bus station, you don't miss the bus and then have to wait for another half an hour before the next bus comes, and then you're already late for your appointment. So in order for us to be on time with God and to go to our destiny where we want to be and on time, we're going to be in line with God's timetable, which is, and the 70 weeks prophecy does that to us, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So 70 weeks, 70 weeks. Weeks simply means seven, okay? It simply means seven. All right, so the children of Israel understood the concepts of seven, because when you read the Bible is mentions the number seven all throughout the week of creation. God created the heavens and the earth, everything, and He rested on the seventh day. So there's this concept of seven going throughout the whole Bible. Okay, so I'm going to take three examples really quickly now. For the purpose of this, we're going to go do some mathematics here, okay? All right. But any chance, do any of you actually know who the first mathematician was, just in passing? Who is actually the first mathematician? Anyone know?
God.
I think God is, because you're going to do a lot of maths here in the book of Daniel. Okay.
You got it right, so it's good. It's supposed to trick you, but it didn't work. Okay, I'm not good enough.
Okay, so the first one is the week of days. The week of days. So the concept that the children of Israel understood was that 6 days you work, and on the seventh day, you rest. Okay, so that was a week, right? So the Sabbath was on the seventh day. Alright, do you understand that? So it's a day of rest. Man was to work 6 days and rest on the seventh day. This is the week of days. That's pretty simple for us to understand, right? 1 week, 7 days, we go through this cycle all the time. The next one is the week. So the reason why I'm going through this is that when you say 70 weeks, it means 70 sevens. But seven what? 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 years, 7 months, 7 millenniums. What is it? So that's what I'm trying to just put down here is the concept that the weeks in the Bible, the word seven, the Israelites were saturated with this thought. And so this will help us to understand what it means by 70 weeks. Alright? So now we're looking at the week of weeks. The feast of weeks, or the feast of Pentecost. Remember the feast of Pentecost in the book of Acts, when they gathered, the Holy Spirit came upon them as they were in the upper room, crying out as one in one accord. So this feast This is how, now all of this is all in the Bible, but I don't have the time for this morning to go through the Bible, but this is all in the Bible. The day of Pentecost was the 50th day, which was the, they had to count 7 Sabbath, alright? And on the day after that would be the Feast of Pentecost, alright? So, mathematics. 1 Sabbath is how many days? 7 days. So if you count 7 Sabbath, how many days is that?
49.
So 7 times 47, 7 times 7, right? 49. So you could say 7 Sabbath, or you can say 7 weeks. And it was the day after the 7th Sabbath was the day of Pentecost. Now that's had a lot of implication, but you get it, right? So yeah. They had this thought. There was weeks of week. Week of weeks.
Yeah.
So you get that? So the concept of Sabbath and week and all of that. So you have week of days, number one, and week of weeks. Now, the last example, which is hopefully we've already gone through that in the life group, but it's the week of years. The week of years. Now, in Leviticus, the Bible begins says that every 7th year, the land is to rest. All right, so the land they will plant, sow, and reap its harvest for 6 years, and on the 7th year they are to let the land rest and do no work on the land. And there's a warning in the Old Testament that if they violated this law, the land would have to rest for all the Sabbath, or the 7th year Sabbath that they violated.
Yeah.
All right. And hence the reason why the children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. Sorry, the house of Judah was in captivity in Babylon for 70 years because they had missed 70 Sabbath every 7 years. Which means, if you do the math again, over 490 years, every 7th year, without fail, they didn't allow the land to rest. And that was the result of the captivity, and of course they rebelled, they had iniquity, and they rebelled against God. But why 70? It was because they violated this. So as you can see, there is Sabbath, but on a year, like it's on a yearly concept, right? So every, not days now, it's years.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah.
So we've looked at week of days, week of weeks, Pentecost, or the Feast of the Lord, the Feast of Weeks, and we looked at the Feast of Years. Now, there are much more, but this is just to give a glimpse of the concept of sevens and weeks, so that when we look at the book of Daniel and say 70 weeks, what does it mean? Next slide, please. So 70 weeks in the book of Daniel means, what does it mean? 70 weeks equal 70 sevens. Alright? So 70 sevens. But sevens of what? 7 days, month, or years, or weeks. Alright? So, without going into too much detail, but we know that by looking at history proves prophecy, it is clear that the sevens here means years. Yeah. Alright? So, as we take this approach this morning, we will see that God's prophetic timeline and everything that has gone through has been proven by history, and everything is right on time. So, in essence, what I'm saying here is that the seven are the 7 of years, which therefore, alright, I don't know what you did in mathematics in school, they always liked us to have every single step that you did. It's like, 1 is equal to this, therefore, 2 is this, or, you know, so that's what I try to do here. So, I was a good I try to be a good math student. Therefore, 70 weeks is equal 7 times 7 years, which equals to 490 years. So what God is saying in the book of Daniel, what the message that Daniel is giving is that I'm giving you 490 years from that time until Jesus returns. 70 weeks. So this is a diagram of the weeks, the 70 weeks put in a timeline like this. So as you can see, there's a section for 7 weeks, 62 weeks. This is all the book of Daniel that we just read, okay? And then, so what we want to be focusing on today is the 70 weeks. So see that? The yellow part. Alright? Timeline here. So what you see in yellow or orange here are the 70 weeks. But you will notice that there's a bit of a gap in between there called the overspreading of abominations. Now, to put this, again, using a little bit of math here, okay? So, if I say 77 weeks, well, how many years is that?
49.
So you're doing that. So weeks replace it with 7 years, right? So 7 times 7 means 49. All right, so 62 weeks.
434.
You got one more? 434 years. All right, so now I want you to do one final math here. So 62 plus 7 is?
69.
Keep going. I want you to keep going. One more. One more. Yeah. Alright, so can you see that 7 plus 62 is 69, okay? Then what you... Whoa, okay, here you go.
Top one.
Okay. Yeah. Alright, cool. Alright, I've never used this before. Okay, so see here, this section here, 7 plus 62 is 69, right?
Yeah.
So we have the total amount of years here. But then we're left here with 1 week.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, can you see how we separate it into two? Right?
Yeah.
So you got... So, hang on. So if... How many? 1 week is how many years?
Seven years.
Remember, if you're reading the book of Daniel, in that prophecy, it says, in the middle of the week, he shall make a covenant, right? And he will make an end of all sacrifice and offering, right?
Yeah.
So here, we have the 7 years divided into two. So this 1 week here. So it makes 3.5 and 3.5.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah? Okay? So what does that mean? From the book of Daniel, when Daniel received that prophecy, he was right here. He was right there, right?
Mm.
And then they came out of captivity. So Cyprus here, King Cyprus said, go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and all of that. So all of that passed, and then we have this. So all of this has already passed. Everyone say 69 weeks.
69 weeks.
And then around here, this section here, that's not when Jesus was born. It was when Jesus was baptized, when he started out his ministry. And we know that Jesus ministered for 3.5 years. And what happened is he died on the cross. That's when he made an end to all sacrifice. The Bible says that there is no more sacrifice. He is a perfect sacrifice. And he died once and for all. No more sacrifice to be done, because he is the final one that can wash away the sins of the world. And every other sacrifice, blood, bull, animal, or whatever that man would want to offer to God, is an abomination unto God.
Yeah.
Because everyone who rejects the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus is an abomination to God. Because the blood of Jesus is precious, and the blood of Jesus is what sets us free from sin, sickness, and darkness, and death. And all of that, okay?
Yeah.
Alright, so this is just an overview, right? Okay, and then after this, there's a bit of a gap here, and this is what we call over the wings of abomination. So it's like you're spreading, overspreading, which means saying there's a period of time, okay? There's a period of time until a consummation. Alright, before we get there, so just note here, there's 3.5 years before the second coming of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
When Jesus returns, we always say there's a millennial kingdom, right? You've heard that term before. Which means God and Jesus and the church will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Next. Alright, see that there? And one more. And after that, there will be new heavens and new earth. Alright? Alright, next slide, please. So this is what I was trying to say here. Just a moment. Next one, please. Oh, sorry. This is what we're focusing on today. All right.
Yep.
So don't worry about 69 weeks, and don't worry about what happens next verse. But just this section here, and we're somewhere here.
Yeah.
Approaching this here.
Yep.
We're somewhere along this time here. Okay.
Yeah.
Probably more like here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next one. So this is what I was saying about earlier. This is 1 week, right? 1 week.
Yeah.
7 years.
Yeah.
Jesus died in the middle, right? In the middle of the week, right? He ministered for 3.5 years. That means there are 3.5 years remaining before the finish or the consummation of the 70 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that at the end of 70 weeks, Jesus returns.
Yeah.
So there's this part here that has not been fulfilled, okay?
Yeah.
So when does this happen? And see how if you go back 2 slides, please. Here, this is what we're talking about here. Between this and this, we're somewhere here preparing for this to take place and then further forward, okay?
Yeah.
Alright, next one, please. Okay? Does that make sense so far? Okay.
Great.
Six. Yeah, it's I'll leave it. Yeah, it'll be explained a bit more in a moment. Okay. All right, so Daniel chapter 9. So I've already kind of explained that, just pick next, please. So the wing of abominations is a rejection of the blood of Jesus Christ. The consummation, next one, is the end or finish of something. Okay, so that means this 70 weeks will consummate right at the end. That means something, and then he will pour out the desolate, pour out, which is redeeming, pour out the desolate. And this speaks of the wrath of God on the earth during the 3.5 years of great tribulation. Okay, so far you've got the timeline in your mind a little bit. Because that means the last remaining 3.5 years, some of this stuff that's going to happen is the pouring out of judgment upon of the earth, which is known as, in the book of Revelation, the seven bowls or the seven vials, the judgment. Okay, and we won't be going through all of that. But okay, next one. Is that clear so far? Now this is only to lay out, so that now I can talk about what I want to talk about. Okay, so this is not the message. There was just like introduction to see, okay, this is where we're going. Now, if you read this section here, all this is trying to say here is that at the first coming of Jesus, where the cross is, transgression was finished, and end sins were made an end sin, and there was reconciliation for iniquity, which means by Jesus dying on the cross, he set us free from sin, from transgression, and he reconciled us back to himself. Now, this is, by the way, in what we just read, Daniel chapter 9, but there's three points here that has not been fully fulfilled, but that only happens when Jesus returns, which is that our orange line saying the second coming. So which means there were things that happened in the first 2.5 years that led to the finishing of transgression, making an end of sin and recognition. And there are things that happen from there onwards until the Jesus comes back again, which when he returns, he will bring in everlasting righteousness.
Yep.
Seal of vision and prophecy, which means every prophetic and every prophecy and every vision will be completely completed and fulfilled. Okay, to anoint the Most Holy. Yep. Okay, now we're going into the actual thing. So let's read back again, Acts chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. This is where I started out. Okay, this is, I'll read that verse 18 again. Sorry, 18, yeah. Read that? Okay. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And these are the two verses we want to focus on right now. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Alright, so the aim of putting the timeline is so you see what has happened, what has Jesus fulfilled, where we're at right now, what is yet to come, and what needs to be restored before Jesus Christ returns. Okay, so that means, we're going to just say that one more time again, that means there are certain things the church must be fully restored, or everything that the prophets have spoken must be restored until he comes. If not, he will not return until that happens. Alright, I will emphasize on this in the next few slides. But let's read right now Revelation chapter 10, verse 5 to 7. Okay, and this says, the angel, okay, whom I saw standing on the sea, this is speaking of Jesus, on the sea, on the land, raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be no, that there should be delayed no longer. Now, this is the verse. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God will be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets. Okay? Alright, now next slide. So, if you look at verse 7, he says, in the days of the sounding of the prophet. And then there's a part where he says, he's about to sound. Okay, so there's three parts here. He's about to sound, he's going to begin to sound the trumpet, the seventh trumpet. Remember, Jesus comes on the last trumpet. In Thessalonians, talks about the last trumpet, Jesus shall return. So this is the seventh trumpet that we're talking about. But there's a time when the trumpet is sounded. And then number two, there's a days of the sound. So that means a period of time that is being sounded for, which we'll talk about. And finally is when the seventh trumpet finishes sounding. Right? So, and the Bible, as we just read, is that when it begins to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. The mystery of God will be finished. What? And obviously there's a whole list of mysteries, but it all pertains to the mystery of God. But just a couple that I put down there is, there's a mystery which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The revealing of the sons of God, that all creation is waiting. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This mystery and the mystery of Christ and the church, it will be finished, if you know what I'm saying. Like it will no longer, it will be opened up. It will no longer be a mystery when that trumpet sounds. So all the mystery between Christ and the church and all of that will be opened up. So the moment the seventh trumpet sounds, that mystery is done away with. Which means, when we go back to the book of Acts, remember it says that Jesus, he must remain there in heaven, that heaven must retain until he comes back, until the resurrection of all things, only then he comes back.
Yeah.
So that means that at the seventh trumpet, the mystery of Christ and the church will be fulfilled, alright? Will be no longer mystery.
Yeah.
So what does that mean to us right now? It means that the church, where it is right now, until the beginning of the seventh trumpet, alright, that mystery will be unfolded. So what needs to take place? Stay tuned. Okay. So the days of the sound, go back. So the days of the, okay, now, just, this is just to put the context again. The moment the seventh trumpet sound, it is the beginning of the last 3.5 years of that, of the Daniel prophecy, right? Remember, so far there's been 69 weeks, and half a week Jesus fulfilled.
Yeah.
There's another half week that's not been fulfilled. That means 69 and a half week of the 70 weeks prophecy has already been passed, right?
Yes.
So that means the last 3.5.
Yes.
When does that 3.5 begins is when that trumpet sounds.
Yes.
And then when that consummation of abomination, then there will be desolate, the judgment will be poured on the desolate, which is the great tribulation, which is the 3.5 years where God will pour out the 7 vials. So the days of the sounding, so the moment it sounds and until it ends, is the last three and a half years of that prophecy. And it is known as the great tribulation. And when the trumpet finishes sounding, what happens is that's when Jesus returns. And the scriptures tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 11 verse 15, the next slide, it says, then the 7th angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Alright, so this is what's going to happen. At the end of that 3.5 years, Jesus returns, and all the kingdoms, next line, of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. And this picture that we've been studying in the book of Daniel chapter 2 is a picture of this statue which represents the kingdom of this world. And a stone cut without hand will strike the statue and bring it down completely.
Amen.
And so that all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Alright? So that's the prophetic timeline and events that are going to take place. Amen?
Amen.
So that means there are a lot of things that are going to happen, alright? Okay, now let's quickly talk about what actually happens during the last 3.5, this great tribulation of 3.5 years. Now, are you with me so far?
Yes.
69 weeks have passed.
Yeah.
Half a week has been fulfilled by Jesus when he died on the cross after 3.5 years of ministry. That last half week have yet to take place, and that's the last final half week that's left until he returns. But there's an overspreading of abomination, right? Until the 3.5 years takes place. There's a consummation there. That's when. Okay, so during the 3.5 years, now again, like I said, it's not a full study of everything that happens, but some thoughts of the things that actually take place. Number one, is, like I've already mentioned, is an outpouring of God's wrath over the earth. And that's found under the seven bowls of judgment. In the 3.5 years, Satan is cast to the earth. That begins the rule of the Antichrist for 3.5 years. The Antichrist will be embodied in flesh, and those who know and have understanding will know his number, 666, right? So, but what happens is, during these 3.5 years, the Antichrist system will take over and rule the earth. Money will fail, which means that no one will be able to buy anything except if they have the mark of the beast. They must, and what will happen is, in the rest of time, I didn't write it down as well, but what will happen is, during the 3.5 years, people will be forced to worship the beast, or worship, you know, the dragon. And so, but remember how in the book of Daniel, the same event took place. They were forced to worship the statue, but if they were not, they were killed. So that's what happens as well in the book of Revelation. Number 6, the church, we're talking about the church now, the church will be taken out. Not taken up, but taken out. Alright? Taken out. So this is not the rapture yet. This is taken out and will be protected. Alright? And number 7, some of the things that happen is the false or the harlot church mentioned in Revelation chapter 17 will be destroyed by the Antichrist system. The Antichrist system will hate and devour her flesh. So the false church used by the enemy, and then in the end destroyed by the enemy, making use for their own agenda. So the 3.5 years are serious times, as we can see, right? There are serious times and things that take place. But this is not for us to look at this and say that, you know, we don't have a bright future. In fact, we have a bright future. What does it mean right now what does it mean for the church now? Now until the 7 trumpet sounds. Remember, like I said, where we were at in the timeline. These are the things that take place. Between now until Jesus returns, Jesus is building his church. Amen. It's a time where God is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Yeah.
Number 2 is, it's a time for true shepherds to rise. God is raising up true shepherds in this hour, in the house of the living God. True shepherds, and remove the false shepherds. Now until the 7th trumpet, and obviously further on. It's a time for the church to be equipped through the 5-4 ministry. Alright, this is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. That God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers for what? For the equipping of the saint, that they might be ready for every good work, for the work of the ministry, so that they can be united as one, so that they won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but that they'll be strong.
Amen.
So that they can enter into the fullness of the stature, the fullness of Christ as one man. So it's important for us to realize that now is the time that God is raising up the 5-4 ministry in the body of Christ. But the reason it is necessary is so that the church can come to maturity. The restoration of the church unto perfection. Because we are called to go unto perfection. We are called to go unto maturity. Because Jesus is coming back for a church that's spotless, blameless, without wrinkle, victorious church, a united church. And so, what must happen until Jesus returns? That must take place. So it's a time of restoration, so that everything that the prophets have spoken, the prophets have prophesied in the old, which they did not understand, which they did not know, which they didn't get to see, even angels desired to look into. Yeah. Now is the time when God has opened this up to us, people living in the last days, and there is going to be a company of people that are going to walk this.
Yes.
Amen. That's going to walk everything that has been prophesied in the Old Testament.
Yes.
And so, where are we going? We are saying that God must restore every dimension to the church.
Yes.
Because the church must be ready for the 3.5 years.
Yes.
The church must be ready for the 1,000-year millennium.
Yes.
Reigning with Christ. for 1,000 years. The church must become ready for the new heavens and the new earth.
Yeah.
Right? So that we are not attached to the things of this world, because we know that God is our portion. And He has new heavens and new earth, which is far even bigger and greater thing than we can even think or even ask. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So, to summarize this before I conclude this now. So you can see how there are many things that must take place before Jesus returns.
Yeah.
And we must see that the church has a destiny. The church has a future. The church has something, a part to play in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's essential to see that when the church is raised, she is raised for what? For such a time as this. For such a time as this. Jesus says, "For this reason I came on this earth, to destroy the works of Satan." So what is the purpose by which God is raising Israel? There must be a purpose. Alright? And the heart of God, and this is not my message, but the kingdom of God is the message of the kingdom. God wants a family, God wants a kingdom of His people. He wants to get all of us saved and redeemed. Because to be part of this kingdom, one had to be born again. Because without being born again, you cannot see the kingdom and you cannot enter the kingdom. And John the Baptist says that you must be born again. You must be baptized unto repentance, because otherwise you have no part in the kingdom.
Yep.
So it has to do with the kingdom.
Yep.
It has to do with what God is doing. So this morning, I by doing this timeline, I hope that it brings to mind that church is a more than what we have always been doing over the past, okay? You know, it's more than just, I mean, it is coming here on Sunday morning, it is to worship the Lord, it is to love people, and it is to fellowship, but we have to ask ourselves, what is in the heart of God? What He's put us and raised us up for what reason?
Yeah.
Alright? And we must be interested in the business of the Father.
Yeah.
Right? So otherwise we've just missed it.
Yeah.
Alright? We don't want to be the people that miss the bus.
Yes.
Yeah.
And wait for the whole hour or whatever, right? And wait for the next bus and miss it out completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because once you, even if you take the next bus, you go there, you've missed the appointment, you've missed it. If you have a job interview, you messed it up.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You don't want to be late for a job interview. And how much more important is it to be in line with God's timeline?
Yeah.
Much more important than a job interview, isn't it right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the conclusion here is, what does this call, what does it do to us? It calls, or it even demands, I should say, that we must be awakened.
Yeah.
We must be awakened. Like, I just want to read a couple of the scriptures, and I'm just bringing it to a close now. When I was preparing this, I thought there's no way I can do this in half an hour. I thought I'd be here for an hour and a half, and I thought people would be running away. by God's grace,
Amen.
Still kind of okay with time, I think.
Yeah.
All right, but this is the conclusion, okay? Ephesians chapter, chapter 5. It says, this is what it says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life."
Amen.
Storm, the context is, don't walk in darkness, don't walk, but walk in the light.
Yeah.
You know, and Thessalonians chapter 5. This one will bring it. Thessalonians.
Yes, Lord.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 to 8. Mm-hmm. "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us who sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night." Alright, chapter 5, verse 8. "But let us who are of the day," are you of the day?
Yes.
Yeah.
"Be brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light."
Yeah.
"Putting on the breastplate of faith, love, and the helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." So he's saying, awaken, you who sleep. Okay? Awaken, because see, the Bible tells us that those who sleep, they, when Jesus returns, they will be caught by surprise. They'll come in as a thief in the night. But for those that are sons of the day, when Jesus returns, it will not be a surprise. Amen? So that's why we need to be awakened. Awakening this hour to rise up and to stand up and you know, to be... next one is we must be alert. We must be alert. We must be awakened and we must be alert because of the times that we're living in and what God is preparing us for. And it says this in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 15 to 16. See then that you work circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know, this morning, as we've spoken about the 3.5 years, we've focused a lot on what happens in the 3.5 years. And the 3.5 years, as you can see, looks a bit scary, and it looks like gloomy and destruction and judgment, antichrist and all of that. But I want to, this is just to give us what happens, but the emphasis this morning is actually the church. It's the church that must be strong. It's the church. It's you know, so as the world gets darker, as the wicked gets more wicked, yet the righteous will get more righteous. Yeah. And so the church will become brighter, the church will become stronger, yep. And the church will become better.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
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 Yeah. Yes, Jesus.
So in these last, even though in these evil days, God will raise up His church, even in the midst of that.
Yeah.
And last one is we must arise.
Yeah.
God Himself will prosper us, and we, your servants, must rise in this hour. Alright, so we as a church must really rise and, you know, ask God. I've been saying to the Lord, I want to make my life count. I want to make my life count.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, and when we see the future, when we see what happens, some of the scary things, but yet we know that the church will be protected. Alright, but we see all of that, then it should create in us a desire. Obviously, I've only scraped the surface of all of this stuff I've talked about here this morning. But it should put a desire in us to find out a bit more what it is about, because it has to do with our future. But it should put in us a sense of, I've got to be ready. The generations that are after me must be ready. There must be something that I need to do. How will the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ? I have to be a part of it. Is that just spiritual? Is that also physical? So it's got to get us to think so that we now see that the church has a very, very important part to play into all the purposes of God on the earth.
Yeah, amen.
All right? Lastly, I just want to share this as I finish off here. As I talk about, we must be awakened, we must be alert, and we must arise. Is, you know, recently I've been speaking of, I met in the streets of Armadale, I met three Aboriginal men. Okay? And as I was talking to them, and I was, you know, I was saying, you know, I recognized one of them, and I greeted them, and I spoke to them, and I said, oh, you know, how are you? It's been a while since I last saw you. So, you know, all the normal catch-up and stuff. And so he, obviously, he was looking drunk, and he had a bottle of alcohol just hiding here, but just keeping it here, and getting a sip every now and then. And I asked him, you know, do you enjoy, you know, this... I don't know if I use this lifestyle. Like, do you enjoy drinking? And I see you're smoking, and you're, you know, do you enjoy that? And he said to me, oh, yeah, I enjoy that. And I said to him, yeah, it's true. I know you enjoy it. And I said, and I'm sure that you can't wait until you get the next sip of this bottle of alcohol. I'm sure you can't wait until you grab another smoke, all right, or whatever drugs you're involved with. But I know that deep inside in your heart, you hate it. And you wish you could get out of it, but you can't get out of it. So he said to me, are you a mind reader? I said, no, I'm not a mind reader. I'm going to do that. But then his brother came along, and I started to talk to his brother, because I think this man is a place where he's fed up. Because I asked him, can I pray for you? He said, oh, a lot of people have prayed for me. So this guy's lost hope as to what can actually happen in their lives. So I spoke to his brother who came. So I asked him the same thing, you know. And as I talked to him, and he said to me, you know, in fact, he was saying, oh, my grandmother is a Christian. She tells us about Jesus all the time, and she's a gospel singer. She sings Jesus songs and all of that. And when I think about what Jesus did and what they did to Jesus and they crucified him, it makes me really sad. So he started to tear up. And I said to him, well, you know, like you said, you hate this stuff that you're doing. You want to get out of it, right? You don't have to, right? And he said to me, no, that's just who I am. I mean, I said to him, but do you not believe that Jesus wants to take that away from you? And then he said, well, you know, that's how I am, you know, bound by it. That's always been like this. Kind of saying, oh, God would kind of understand, I guess. I can't. In simple terms, he's saying, I can't help it. All right? So as I started tearing out, I said, look, I was literally, I don't know if I was screaming at him, but I said, no, that's not true. You know, Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to live like this.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, but he was okay with it, I don't know, somehow. So, but as I kept saying it, I was like almost scolding him or trying to shake him up. But then I said, look, can I pray for you? And he said, sure, pray for me. And as I lay my hands on his back and I held his hand, and as I started to pray, and as I started to pray, he was already tearing up, by the way. All right. But as I prayed and I held his hand, the tears flew a bit more. Okay. And what he did, now this is the part I want you to capture here, is that he took my hands. Right, he took my hands. So I was holding him like this, right, like this. So he took my hands and he put it against his cheek, almost like rubbing my hand off his cheeks. And there he was tearing up, and his tears were just flowing on my hands. And to me, at that point in time, my heart melted, because you know, I thought, these people, they really need help. Whatever situation they're in, it's like they want to get out of it, but they just can't get out of it. You know, and so I prayed for him, and you know, in the end, I said to him, you know, he's telling me, you know, I get into fights and all everything. I said, you know, and at the end, I think, I don't know whether it's going to happen, but he did say, no, you know what? I said, where are you going to be? Because, you know, what if I want to talk to you again? Can I see you? He said, oh, I won't be here anymore. I said, where will you be? I'll be at home. I said, so you're not going to come down here? No, because I don't want to fight anymore. So something got into him, I think. But I went there. To me, it felt like this. You know, there are people out there that need so much help.
Yeah.
And we as the church, that's what we're here for.
Right.
We've got to go out there and tell them that Jesus not only loves them by dying on the cross, but that he dies so that the curse of sin, that you may not have to be bound by every curse of sin.
Yeah.
So, you know, and while I was talking to these men, there were security guards, two of them were walking by, and they saw me obviously talking to the three men and all of that. So they came along and they started greeting the guys, and he said, oh, you know, talk to, like, you know, greeting them. They were actually very, very, very nice. And he said to him, saying to them, oh, you're really good men. So they were very, very nice. And while they were chatting their way along, I was talking to one of the men, and he could hear everything that I was saying. Because I was like, what I was saying, I was like almost calling the guy. I was like, you know, Jesus didn't die for you. You can get out of this, you know. And so he knew I was talking about Jesus. So after I finished that, because we spent quite a long time with them, so I was walking back. The security guards were kind of coming my way, and Job was with me. So he stopped me and says, "Oh, hi. What do you do?" Like almost like what they were saying to Jonah. Who are you? Who's your God? Where do you live? Where's your God? You know, it's almost like that. So he asked me, so who are you? No, sorry, he didn't say that. Sorry, he said, well, what do you do? I said, oh, you know, we're at church here. Some of us are singing songs down there. And he said, oh, I recognize this group of people. I've been seeing them. You know, I said, oh, yeah. I said, so I just said, oh, we're with them, and, you know, we're talking to people. We just want to, you know, share the God and, you know, help people and all that. So we're a church. And he said, oh, you know, we talk to these men all the time, and they don't, you know, whatever you say, but they don't change. Like, you can say all these things to them, but nothing happened. He said, oh, I hope, thanks for trying, but I hope that what you're saying will get through to them. And so got a chance to pray for them, but the thing is that they told me afterwards is this. He said, you see these men, I mean, he told me, see that guy you were talking to, this man just came out of jail from fights.
Ooh, okay.
Good thing I didn't get punched in the face. But he told me, after he said that to me, he said, these men, you think they're bad, but but the children are actually worse. I thought, wow, the children are worse. And he's like, they're a lot worse. The children, they make a mess everywhere. And so it makes me think again. And he said to me, if you think Armadale is bad, because there's a few guys that work in different areas, it's Rockingham, Belmont, it's even worse. So it makes me think, what's out there? So to me, it's almost like asking me to like, okay, I've got to be awakened. I've got to rise in this hour. It's a time for the church to arise in this hour. Yeah. Because there's a world that is seeking and looking for answers that they can't help themselves, but they can't help themselves to sin. But we can bring the message of the kingdom of God that can set them free.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why, knowing what's happening in our day, in our time, in our society, and seeing in the light of what God is doing and what God is preparing the church for, and the 3.5 years, and everything that goes along in the whole package, the church must arise.
Yeah.
So that now, we're not just playing church, coming here every Sunday, sing a few songs, hear a good message, and go back home and do nothing. Now is, I think, I believe that we've been receiving a warning from prophetic voices, and now is the time for the church to arise and seek, cease from sleeping, but awaken and take things seriously.
Yeah.
Amen. So I want to pray this morning that God will cause us to awaken and have a heart to stand up in this hour and be a voice in our own society,
yes,
in the name of Jesus, and to raise this church to another level, so that the church will come to the dimensions of the living God, so that everything that the prophets have prophesied and have spoken of will be fulfilled. The church will be fully restored.
Yes.
The fivefold ministry will begin to rise.
Yes.
Shepherds in the house will begin to rise.
Yes.
The saints will be equipped.
Yes.
The saints will be ready. The saints will become strong.
Yes.
The saints will rise in stature. The saints will rise. The body of Christ will rise in unity.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for the work that you're doing. I thank you that you're bringing restoration. You're bringing restoration of every single truth into the church right now.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I thank you, Jesus, that you have a destiny for the church.
Yes.
I thank you, oh God, that you have a plan for the church. And I thank you that the plan is to raise up a victorious church.
Yes.
A glorious church.
Yes.
A united church.
Yes.
A perfect church.
Yes.
A militant church in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That will push back and destroy every works of Satan.
Yes.
That will rise in this hour. That will not succumb to any negative things that are happening in the world.
Yes.
But arising as true sons of God. The mysteries of God being unfolded in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Restore, restoration in Jesus' name.
Yes.
That the Christ, the hope of glory, will be revealed in the inside of us.
Yes.
That when Christ is revealed, the sons of God will be revealed.
Yes.
And all creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to arise.
Yes.
And it's calling you and I, it's calling the church. Now is the time for you and I to rise in the name of Jesus. Now is the time for us to stand up in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, until the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ.
Yes.
Stone cut without hands, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.